This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's a summer weekend, and a lot of people are away. Even the Prez is at his vacation retreat, but I'm here, right behind this very microphone. We're live, and we got lots to talk about. We want to invite you to take part by calling us at 877-726-TALK. That's 877-726-8255 with your medical or nutritional question. And among the stories we're going to tackle today, we're going to take a look at yet another B vitamin that may be integral in our efforts to prevent birth defects. We've discovered one of them. It's folate, and we've dramatically reduced the incidence of birth defects by supplementing pregnant women with folate. But there's yet another vitamin in the vitamin pantheon that may be crucial in terms of preventing devastating birth defects. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. A little later in the program, we'll talk about why loneliness may be more dangerous than obesity as a risk factor for cardiovascular disease and overall risk of dying. Our number, once again, 877-726-8255. You can come directly into the doctor's office and pose a question. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment, but this is a big story that I'm about to share with you. And I posted it on Facebook, and there was a firestorm of controversy because some people agreed with it, and some people pushed back against it. And I guess it depends on where you're coming from in relationship to the marijuana controversy, because there's a big push in this country to legalize marijuana as a recreational drug, moreover, to make it more accessible as a medical option for people suffering from a wide variety of maladies. And I am fascinated by the new emerging science about cannabinoids and how cannabinoids may help a wide variety of problems. Cannabinoids may be, at least in part, a solution to our opioid dependency crisis. You know, they just declared this a national emergency, and indeed it is, because rates of opioid dependency, not just heroin use, but use of illicit and even properly prescribed pain medication, the rates are soaring, and the death rates are incredible. It actually has turned out that one of the leading causes of accidental death among younger people in this country is overdose due to not just heroin, you know, old-fashioned street drug, but just even regularly prescribed medication. So marijuana and its derivatives, CBD, cannabidiol, hemp oil, these may provide an alternative that may help people wean off more powerful addictive drugs. And right in front of me, I have a story from earlier, actually from last year, headline, Cannabinoids Remove Plaque-Forming Alzheimer's Proteins from Brain Cells. So you see, the potential is enormous for harnessing these compounds. Salk Institute scientists, they say, have found preliminary evidence that THC and other compounds found in marijuana can promote the cellular removal of amyloid beta, which is a toxic protein associated with Alzheimer's disease. So if you think that pot rots your brain, well, it may actually preserve your brain from dementia. But there's a big story that's generated a lot of controversy. A new study claims marijuana is tied to a threefold risk of dying from high blood pressure. And I think that that's very, very significant. But people have quickly pointed out that there's some problems with the study. There's a catch. The study has some limitations. All right. First of all, let's take a look at what the study says. Barbara Yankee, the lead author of the study, says, quote, "We found that marijuana users had a greater than threefold risk of death from hypertension, and the risk increased with each additional year of use." This is published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology. And this is what is sometimes referred to as a dose-response correlation. In other words, the more years you smoke, the greater your likelihood of developing a condition that could lead to death related to hypertension. And overall, those classified as marijuana users were found to be 3.42 times as likely to die from hypertension or high blood pressure than those who said they had never used. Moreover, the risk increased by a factor of 4% for each year of use. So it was a cumulative risk. Now, here's the problem. They defined marijuana user, wait till you hear this, as anyone who's ever used marijuana. So you could be considered a marijuana user if you just dabbled with marijuana in high school or college and then never smoked again. And this is actually a poor assumption to base research on, because it turns out that the majority of Americans, 52%, have at least tried cannabis at some point. Only 14% said they use the drug regularly, so they're in a distinct minority. Regularly means at least once a month. So it's hard to say that if you've ever tried marijuana, that say you smoked marijuana two times, and that puts you at threefold higher risk of dying of a hypertension-related problem. That's a bit of a problem with this study. Nonetheless, it points in the direction of a potential problem. Now, you might say there are what are called confounding variables. Correlation isn't necessarily causation. And you might say, well, what about the potential for marijuana smokers maybe to be more likely to be men, okay, or maybe of a certain race? Studies show that certain races or ethnic groups may be more likely culturally to have an acceptance of smoking marijuana. And we know, for example, you know, let's posit that African Americans are more likely to smoke pot. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but let's posit that that's the case. And we know that racial or ethnic group has a higher propensity to hypertension. So could it have skewed the results? Also, smoking pot, sometimes a gateway drug to smoking cigarettes. So you could say, well, maybe that's what it's all about. Is the pot smokers, they tend to smoke cigarettes, so that's what it's all about. No, they actually controlled for this in the study. They adjusted the results to rule out any factors that could muddle the results, like gender, race, and history of smoking tobacco. So what I have to say here is that there's definitely biological plausibility here. And we have to not dismiss the results out of hand merely because the study was, I don't know, a little haphazard the way they categorized marijuana users. We know, for example, that when you smoke pot, it increases heart rate by between 20 and 50 beats per minute for anywhere from 20 minutes to 3 hours. There's something going on there. And also, one study, albeit a very small study, found a sharp increase in blood pressure, not when you smoke pot, but if a pot smoker were to stop using the drug. Habitual pot smokers who go cold turkey, their blood pressure sometimes soars. And that may be clinically significant in terms of raising risk for a hypertension-related event. But most importantly, why do some people think smoking burning plant material is a good idea? If cigarettes are bad, well, pot doesn't have certain of the carcinogens that cigarettes have, but still burning plant material, and you inhale it deeply into your lungs, and some of that particulate matter and some of the pollutants and some of the chemicals go directly into your bloodstream, where they attack the tender, delicate walls of your arteries, the endothelial lining, and they can cause inflammation. They may alter the function of the endothelium, and the net result is blood pressure problems, circulatory problems, perhaps a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, and suggests that the proper way to harness the benefits of pot is to extract certain fractions from it. Cannabidiol, perhaps THC in some cases, in various combinations and proportions, and to do research about precisely what effect, if any, each has on a wide variety of disease targets, and then to administer it via liquid or via lozenges or via, perhaps in some cases, patches, but to avoid inhaling burning plant material of variable quality, because pot is all over the map in terms of quality control, and it may be laced in some cases with harmful chemicals that make it even more toxic than the individual ingredients, which may turn out to be beneficial for a variety of health problems. So that's my take on it. And it's a study that urges us caution in widespread adoption of marijuana legalization, because there may be harmful effects. Not that they're not harmful effects of alcohol and other things that we commonly use. Various over-the-counter drugs, too, have their hazards. But why introduce yet another hazard into the mainstream? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We invite your phone calls, 877-726-TALK is our number. Come right in the doctor's office and pose your questions today. This is Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our Intelligent Medicine principles, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the Intelligent Medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And you can call us 877-726-8255 is our number for questions. You can come directly into the doctor's office this hour or next. And are you suffering from frequent fatigue? Well, the problem may be with your membranes. Your cell membranes are responsible for virtually all the activity within your cells, including energy production. And there are two places where cell membranes count: the external membrane that surrounds the cell overall, as well as the mitochondria. The mitochondria have membranes too. And there's a new concept. Well, actually, it's been around for a while, and it's been validated by research, called lipid replacement therapy. The idea being that your membranes are composed of lipids. And if you don't have the right balance of lipids in your membranes, if your membranes have deteriorated, or if poor quality oils in your diet have supplanted the beneficial phospholipids in your membranes, your membranes won't function optimally. And you won't function optimally. And you'll feel tired, or you may suffer from a wide variety of symptoms that are associated with aging and degenerative disease. So my favorite solution for this problem is lipid replacement therapy with NT factor. NT factor is from Nutritional Therapeutics. It repairs damaged cells, and clinical trials have shown that NT factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. It's available in ProPax, which is a complete vitamin and mineral formula. It's a one-stop shop for your nutritional needs, including probiotics and essential fatty acids. But you can also get NT factor alone, and that's the way I like to take it. The product is called Healthy Aging. Healthy Aging with NT factor is the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking, providing you with a unique energy support of pure NT factor in a potent delivery system. I've been taking it for years. I don't miss a day without taking NT factor. And now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order ProPax or Healthy Aging by calling 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Okay, we have a number for live calls. It's 877-726-TALK. But we also have a way to get through to us via our website. You go to drhoffman.com, and on the homepage, there's a box that you can click on, and it prompts you to record a question, as Henrietta did last week. So let's hear from Henrietta.
Hello, Dr. Hoffman. My name is Henrietta, and I was just wanting to know what you thought about hemp oil. I've been thinking that I would rather take that for pain than Tylenol. I don't know where I could find the safe hemp oil. That's it.
Okay. So here's the deal. Hemp oil contains, I mean, hemp is actually a cannabis that is supposedly free of THC. And the idea being is, you know, hemp being a very ancient plant, hemp is actually something that you can use nutritionally. It also is something that yields more or less amounts of CBD. But I prefer products that are standardized CBD products. I think it's going to be sort of a race to develop products that are properly vetted and are reliable sources of CBD. Not every hemp oil has high levels of CBD that can have pain-relieving effects. But as the industry matures, and as legalization proceeds, I think we'll see more and more options. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day, I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. I want to elaborate a little bit on the answer I gave to Henrietta, whose question was, what do you think about hemp oil? She'd rather take that for pain than Tylenol. And so we have to distinguish between CBD, which has analgesic effects. It's not the stoner part of marijuana that helps with pain. That's the THC. CBD has mild to moderate analgesic effects. It's effective for reducing the sensation of pain. And no, it's not as powerful as Vicodin, Percocet, you know, any of these powerful addictive medications, but it has a mild pain-relieving effect, which makes it a potential substitute for such things as Tylenol or Aleve or Motrin, with the attendant harmful side effects. When it comes to Tylenol, the main side effect is liver toxicity, which can happen with as little as six pills a day. And it, according to an article in ProPublica, it's responsible for thousands and thousands of liver injuries every year, even when properly taken. Some people go overboard. Some people will attempt suicide. You can easily kill yourself with a bottle of a couple of dozen Tylenols, easily. And when it comes to the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Advil, ibuprofen, these drugs can hike blood pressure. They can cause kidney damage. They can erode the gastric lining. They often can, in patients with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, cause exacerbations. They're not great to take. Also, they may, while relieving pain, they may not allow cartilage to repair. So if you're an athlete and you say, well, every time I go out for a run, I take an Advil, reduces my pain. No, not a great idea, because you'll be bone on bone more quickly. You just may not feel it. So CBD is a potential alternative. The question is, where do you get your CBD from? Now, you can get it from the marijuana plant, where it's extracted and the THC is minimized. This is through some molecular distillation process, so you don't get stoned. You get the CBD. But you can also get CBD from hemp, which doesn't have stoner effects to begin with. You can't, you know, smoke on hemp isn't going to get you anywhere, or taking hemp oil isn't going to get you high. But the question is, does CBD from hemp, is it equivalent to CBD from marijuana? Is it as potent? And many people think erroneously that CBD from marijuana is necessarily more potent. That's the way it is dispensed in marijuana dispensaries, where marijuana is legal in certain states like Colorado and California. It's coming from the marijuana plant, not from hemp. But hemp oil, it's kind of a subterfuge. It's a way of getting CBD in some small quantity on the market in a legal fashion. And the rules and regulations for hemp oil vary from state to state. It's a little bit like they're playing whack-a-mole to suppress CBD when manufacturers are ingenious and they're not making a lot of claims. If you make a claim that your hemp oil is CBD rich, in certain states, its sale might be restricted. So it's hard to determine what standardized level of CBD you're getting from hemp oil. And various products will say they're CBD rich. Okay. There's no knowing for sure how much CBD you're going to be getting. And this is something that's bedeviled me as I try to make recommendations to patients who want to use CBD. The most reliable way is still through a licensed marijuana dispensary where there's quality control and proper declaration of the CBD content. But there's no question that hemp oil contains, and it varies from brand to brand, but hemp oil does contain significant amounts of CBD. It's not just CBD extracted from marijuana that's potent and effective for pain. And therefore, trying various brands of hemp oil might be worthwhile as an alternative to Tylenol. It sounds kind of vague, but I got to say that's the state of affairs right now in the industry, as the legalities are murky and they keep changing, and it's not clear where the government is going after marijuana or whether the government is going to condone CBD use. It's a very muddled state of affairs. All right, this item that has to do with birth defects. You know, the March of Dimes. Remember the March of Dimes? You know, I think there was this effort. Literally, when I was a kid, you would put dimes in little slots, and sent it to the March of Dimes, because the March of Dimes was dedicated to preventing birth defects. Little did we know in those days that the solution to the problem was not some high-tech medicine. It was nutritional, and the use of folate in many products, many breads and cereals are fortified with B vitamins and folate these days. And prenatal vitamins, it's essential to have folic acid. I prefer folate. 5-methylfolate, I think, is more easily metabolizable. But nonetheless, we've dramatically curtailed the incidence of neural tube defects and anencephaly and very devastating birth defects. But birth defects continue to occur in spite of fortification. And there's a landmark article in the New England Journal of Medicine. I don't think it got reported on very much in the mainstream press. So let me share it with you. It's entitled NAD Deficiency, Congenital Malformations, and Niacin Supplementation. Now, if those initials, NAD, sound familiar to you, it's because I've been talking about something called nicotinamide riboside, which helps to support NAD. NAD is an energy compound in the body that is akin to ATP. ATP and NAD are part of the energy cycle within the cells. And a deficiency of NAD can cause a lot of problems. It's thought to be associated with insulin resistance, with brain problems, heart problems. You've got an energy deficit in your body, and you're going to have multiple problems. Well, it turns out birth defects are part of that spectrum. And how do you fix it? They say, with a good old-fashioned niacin supplementation. And this is demonstrated in a very sophisticated study done in animals. What they found is that niacin supplementation corrected the metabolic problems that resulted in low levels of NAD that ultimately were responsible for congenital malformations in humans and mice. They say, quote, niacin supplementation during gestation, that's pregnancy, prevented the malformations in mice. So that's very cool, but it leads me to speculate that niacin certainly cheap, inexpensive, and readily available, but is niacin even the best way to address this? Could it be that supplementation with nicotinamide riboside, brand name Niacel, that's the brand that I use, Niacel, and we recently did a podcast on this subject. You can hear it at drhoffman.com. It was on brain plasticity, and we know that nicotinamide riboside helps to fend off neurodegeneration in a variety of diseases. We use it in Parkinson's. We use it in dementia. We use it even in kids with autism. But it turns out that it may be a more efficient precursor, and no question it is, than good old-fashioned niacin or its cousin nutrient, niacinamide. Both are forms of vitamin B3. Both can support NAD production in the body, but the most effective way to boost NAD is with nicotinamide riboside. So to me, this is a resounding vindication of the theory that Niacel has some very profound effects on in an unexpected way, because we didn't think birth defects were part of the spectrum of NAD deficiency. The authors of the study proposed that these birth defects be referred to as NAD deficiency disorders. So how many NAD deficiency disorders occur not just during pregnancy when the baby's being formed, but also in many diseases that we see in adulthood and especially in older age? This is subject, I think, of intense further research. Meanwhile, you can get Niacel via our website. Just click on the store and you'll be directed to Fullscript, which is our online dispensary. And Niacel is one of our perennially most popular products. 877-726-TALK is our number. We invite your phone calls. And we got a call from Marcia from Connecticut. Welcome.
I have a small hairline fracture, in my hand, and I want to know what I might take to accelerate the healing. I had been on strontium for 3 years, and I stopped about 1.5 years ago when my bone density went between 50 and 60, and it really increased about 5%, so I stopped for a while.
Great.
Well, thanks to you.
Yeah.
And would it help to go back on it, number one? I'm already taking 2,000 IUs a day of vitamin D, and briefly, I also take MK7, Biosil.
All those are good. So let me explain.
Calcium.
Yeah, so there's a difference. I mean, there's a similarity between things that prevent or reverse osteoporosis and things that help heal bone when bone is broken. And some of the same things may apply, you know, like taking calcium and vitamin D, and taking perhaps a strontium. But I think of strontium more as a preventive for fractures rather than something that can address fractures. You probably have what's called a Colles fracture, which is really common, especially in older women. They fall forward, they put their wrist out, and then there's a, you know, what seems to be a bad sprain, but it turns out to be a fracture of the wrist bones. The thing that I like the most for healing bone fractures is something called bone morphogenetic protein. Which has been a concept in orthopedic surgery for a long time. They used to sprinkle this stuff directly on fractures when they did open reduction of fractures. But it turns out that they figured out a way to make it orally absorbable, and it's now offered as a product called Ostinol, O-S-T-I-N-O-L. And there's some impressive results of studies showing accelerated healing of fractures using Ostinol. Ostinol can also be used for treatment of arthritis, which makes it kind of cool because one of the worst things that happens after a wrist fracture is you develop a post-traumatic arthritis. You know, the wrist becomes stiff and, you know, swollen, and you want to avoid that. So Ostinol will prevent the post-traumatic arthritis. It will also help to accelerate bone healing, and it may. And I use it as an alternative. Some people prefer not to take strontium, or they tried strontium, and for some reason they don't want to take it. An alternative, although it's a more expensive than strontium, is Ostinol, O-S-T-I-N-O-L. And it comes in various dosages. I think there's 165, 330, and higher. And I would recommend that you take the 330 for twice daily. That's a pretty hefty dose, and that can be expensive. You don't have to do it forever. Do it for 6 weeks. Then you can step down to 330 once a day. And, you know, this is an obscure kind of product, maybe hard for some of our listeners to find, but you can find it on Fullscript, which is our online dispensary at drhoffman.com. Just click on there, register. You'll have to register for Fullscript. Give them your email. They won't pester you, but it will give you access to the full gamut of supplements that are available there, and you know, including many of the harder to find, harder to source things that I talk about here on Intelligent Medicine. Ostinol, O-S-T-I-N-O-L, for fracture healing. Also consider, you know, for the immediate aftermath of fracture, Wobenzym, which is a proteolytic enzyme that will take down the swelling, reduce the edema. That's most effective in the first 2-3 weeks after an injury. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
The best things in life are free. Free of gluten, dairy, allergens, and GMOs. And that's important in today's toxic world. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics has prided itself on purity that creates this certified vegetarian whole food supplement. The nourishing prebiotic culture medium in Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is comprised exclusively of pure spring water, fruits, wild vegetables, mushrooms, and seaweed. This carefully balanced and perfectly blended composition goes through a 3-year fermentation process, allowing it to maximize the natural health-promoting properties of each restorative ingredient. The final result? Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is an organic, living fusion that merges and encourages the evolution of your own exclusive internal bacteria, helping to support a healthy digestive system. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and live free. Look for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. You can call us this hour next, 877-726-8255. Lots of time to come directly into the doctor's office and pose your question. This week in our newsletter, if you're a newsletter recipient, you got this. If not, you should sign up for our newsletter because lots of valuable free content can arrive on a weekly basis in your inbox. And this week's subject was myths about gallbladder disease. Now, it's the first in a multi-part series, and we're also going to talk about preventive strategies for gallbladder stones. But there are a variety of myths about gallbladder disease that I needed to dispel. And one of which is excess dietary fat is the culprit in gallbladder disease. True or false? We'll find out in a moment. But here's the scope of the problem. 20% of all U.S. adults have gallstones. And that means that a lot of adults have gallstones and they don't necessarily need operations. That's one of the myths, is that if you have a gallstone, immediately you must undergo surgery. We'll tackle that myth in one of our future articles in the newsletter. But each year, around 500,000 people develop symptoms or complications necessitating gallbladder removal. It's called cholecystectomy, and it's easier and easier to take out the gallbladder with something called laparoscopic cholecystectomy. So more and more people are getting the surgery. 10,000 people die annually from complications of gallstones, so it's no joke, not a trivial problem. So does excess dietary fat cause gallbladder disease? Well, this is an urban myth that needs to be put to rest, because while it's true that if you have stones, dietary fat may cause you pain because it causes the gallbladder to contract around the stones, but studies do not support the notion that a high-fat diet causes gallstones to begin with, especially if your high-fat diet is limited in carbohydrates. So why is that? Well, it turns out there's a high concordance between fatty liver, metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance, obesity, and gallbladder problems. And all those problems we're now coming to recognize are driven by excess dietary carbohydrate consumption, not fat consumption. And there was a recent study. One of the authors was Walter Willett, who's America's foremost nutrition scientist, entitled Dietary Carbohydrates and Glycemic Load and the Incidence of Symptomatic Gallstone Disease in Men. And their conclusion was, and I'm quoting, "Our findings suggest that a high intake of carbohydrates, glycemic load, and glycemic index increases the risk of symptomatic gallstone disease in men. These results add to the concern that low-fat, high-carbohydrate diets may not be an optimal dietary recommendation, especially for people who maybe try to avoid gallbladder surgery. So why does a high-carb diet contribute to gallbladder problems? Well, a diet rich in refined carbohydrates causes the liver to generate a type of bad cholesterol that's more likely to create stones. And clearly any diet pattern, especially one that's high in refined carbohydrates, that promotes overweight, insulin resistance, and type 2 diabetes, hikes the risk for gallbladder disease. It's known that obesity and diabetes are risk factors for gallstones. So it's even been suggested that having gallstones predicts a higher risk of dying earlier, but not because the gallstones are going to kill you, but because the accompanying factors, such as insulin resistance, overweight, bad cholesterol, are what are going to do you in ultimately. So gallstones may be just a harbinger of a bad lifestyle. 20% of all U.S. adults suffer from them, and it may be because they're following a diet that is too high in refined carbohydrates, and that needs to change. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-TALK is our number. We'll see you on the other side of the top of the hour break.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.